she would say, I have given you everything.
So the meditation part is over. Could you all please sit up? If you look this way, we'll do a quick demonstration. Okay, two. This is the next stage. In olden times, before they had contracts that you signed, it was a handshake. And the handshake was, I back it up with my life. This is the English. Yeah. And I'm sure the Germans picked it up too later. So, shake hands, this is a simple contract. And I say, I promise to take care of our sacred earth. And you say the same thing back.
I promise to take care of our sacred earth.
It's a deal, you see? And then you hug. And then you say it over and over. I promise to take care of our sacred earth. And if you say it, it kind of like it brainwashes you. You know, and you start to become conscious. Everybody stand up. Shake hands. I promise to take care of our sacred earth.
Demonstration for you. Can you all sit down?
The American Indians. Put their hands on this. This is symbol of equality. Okay? What you're going to do now is pass on the wisdom. The way you pass on the wisdom you whisper. You take turns and you whisper, this earth does not belong to us. We belong to the earth. And you hug again. This earth does not belong to us. We belong to this earth. If you can really appreciate that, everything will follow. Alright? Sign of equality and whispering. This earth does not belong to us. We belong to this earth. That's the wisdom. Yay. Everybody up?
To share with you what's been going on in my life in the last couple of years. I'm going in something like this, Disneyland, my life. About 3 years ago, I ended up being diagnosed with chronic sciatica. That means there's a pinch in the nerve that goes all the way down your leg. And when you walk, it's really painful. And it had gotten to the point where when I walked, I was planning where I was going to sit down. That's how I was thinking in life. I stopped dancing, stopped doing martial arts. shaving and brushing my teeth, I was doing is sitting down on a chair, taking a shower, going to bed. It was also very painful to get into the right position. And I went to the doctors in Holland, and they said, your backbone is rubbing against itself, and it's creating little, what they call spurs. And the spurs are pinching your nerve, and it goes all the way down your back, and that's why you have what you have. And I said, well, what's the solution? And they said, well, we operate, we take the piece of the backbone out, we scrape it, and then we put it back with a clamp. A clamp. And I said, well, what's the worst scenario? That doesn't work. Give me the worst picture. They said, well, then eventually we just put a tube in your back, and that's it. And I walked away from this examination, and I got the top consultant in France. I made an appointment with him. I go to him with my x-rays, and he says to me, why do you want to have this operation? And I said, I don't want to have this operation. And he said, if it was me, I wouldn't have it. I said, oh, but that's all he could give me. And I was like, try anything, kinesiology, you know, try any therapy, but if it was me, I wouldn't do it. So this went on now 20 years. Every year it got worse and worse and worse and worse. I'm in Pune, and I go to the administration. I said, are there any therapists, any new therapies that we can use to complement our work at the Humana University? And I said, there's some people here from Sydney, Australia, and they do acu-energetics. And what I registered was acupuncture. That was automatic registration. And I have had acupuncture needles with electric wires where they send a current wrapped around to the needle which goes inside of you. I know about acupuncture. So I said, no. And then try it. So I said, okay. I go in, and the founder of this school says, lie on the table. And I'm waiting for what's going to happen. Acupressure, spooky, I don't know what's going on. And then he says to me, what happened 20 years ago? I said, I can't remember. I just can't remember, but I know that's when it began. So they use their energy to unblock your energy. That's basically what they do. So he uses energy, and I'm thinking, this is real spooky. I'm waiting for the treatment, and nothing's going on. Then he tells me, get off the table. I said, and then he says, walk around. I walk around. He says, is there any pain there? I said, no. But that's happened many times. There's no pain for a while. It's like a toothache, and then it comes back, you know? So that night, I'm in the resort, and I'm dancing. And I'm walking. And every now and then I keep remembering, I'm supposed to have a pain. I'm with Premdeep, and I say to Premdeep, what happened 20 years ago? I can't remember, you know, when this pain began. She said, I remember, that's when Osho died. And then suddenly there was an energy inside of me.
Up to that point, every time I go to his samadhi, I would be crying like a baby. I have a lungi wrapped over my head. I would get thrown out. I think I'm the only one who's been thrown out so many times. And what I saw when I went back to this service is that I didn't want to let him go. It was such a longing, such a grief, that I felt if I let him go in some kind of crazy way, it means I love him less or something like that. And I held on. I held on. Since that time, I've had about 30 acroenergetic sessions. This is 3 years ago. The pain has never come back in my hip, man.
Hey.
A miracle. I was considering having this operation. I was considering it. I was able to look at many issues. When I was 67, my girlfriend and I had a baby. I thought, I'm 67, I'm over the hill, I can't have a baby, you know. She tells me she's pregnant, she calls me up from Brazil. Pregnant? How's that possible? You know, and then I remember I put down the phone and I thought about it, and then I phoned her up again in Brazil. I said, can you repeat that? And she said, I'm pregnant. I'm going to have a baby. I'm 67, I'm going to have a baby. I can't believe it, you know. She comes, she has a baby. I figured for the first time in my life, I'm going to really be a serious father. I'm going to do it. I'm not going to be running around. I'm going to really do it. And she turns around, she says, I don't want to live with you. And she goes back to Brazil with my son. For 3 years, I had so much resentment that I didn't want her just to die. I wanted her to die horribly. How about that for an enlightened viewpoint? That's how I felt. Like, you bitch, you took away my son. You know, it was that kind of rage I had inside for 3 years. I did some sessions, and I learned to just let it go. It's not healthy for me. It's not healthy. I forgave her, because in my heart, she had taken something and destroyed me or something like that, my madness. And I let it go. We become friends today, which is completely, this weight that I've been carrying took away my son. You know? And I really said, it's enough. I don't want to hate her anymore. I don't want to hate her. And it's not good for my son. He's 5 years old today. I know that when we're tense, he gets tense. And now he's really relaxed with us. I look back and I say to myself, I was feeling guilty about not being the father that I wanted to be. And then I could accept that that's just the way the situation went. That's just the way the situation went. If I could, I could have arranged it another way, but I couldn't arrange it another way, and that's just the way it went. I'll tell you another story that's important, that is important for me. This therapist tells me, he's working in Sydney, two women come to him at different times, they don't know each other. It turns out that they both had the same history. They both were in concentration camps, their entire family killed, they were sexually abused and used as sex slaves. Didn't know each other. Almost identical history. One woman, he convinces, to forgive and let go of all that negativity because it's destroying her. She's able to do that. The other one said, no, never. Not for what they did to my parents, not to what they did to my family, not to what they did to me. Never. I will never forgive them. The one that was able to let go, she's living happy today with her family. The other one died of cancer. The bitterness, the anger, the resentment, the holding on, I'm going to pay you back, destroyed her. Resentment, negative feelings, you hold on to it and it affects your body. I was trying to tell you guys about smiling. Here's something interesting. When you are born in your embryo and you're growing, your heart develops first and then your brain. Interesting. Interesting. 5,000 years ago, the Taoists understood about smiling. This is the information I get from acumenogenetics. And they learned it from martial arts. They found out that the martial artists, when they can relax and come from their heart, from a heart space, that's what true courage is. And if your energy is relaxed, you can move faster and you can beat the living shit out of people with a smile. The other schools, they're not coming from a courageous position, from their heart. They're coming from fear. They're afraid of being hurt. It's a different way of looking at things. So the Emperor of China knew about 500 Taoist monks who were practicing smiling and flowing. And his advisors said to him that they have this special power, they might use it against you. So the Emperor of China called all the 500 practitioners in, put them in a big hole and buried them. That was the end of that school. And then some of the writings continued, and over the 5,000 years, we get it today. Smile. It's important for your heart. When your heart is closed, that's when you get disease. Your nerve says it's a communication. You bang your arm and go, ow! Your nerve is saying, ow, I'm hurt. It means that the energy has been blocked, it's been bruised, it's been abused. It's not that your nerve is saying something about your body, and that's the energy flow. When the energy flow is not moving, you get sick. Another example. Since I was 14, my friends and I used to walk the streets, and we were drug addicts. And my friend and I would always say this to each other. You cover my back. I said, don't worry, man, I got you covered. I'll cover your back, you cover my back. Yes, it was like a contract. It was like, we could now go into this jungle together. He's looking over my back, and I'm looking over his back. We're looking at the police in the back, the junkies over here, and the people that we stole money from over there. You know, you're walking down the street like this. You know, you got to make sure your back is covered. This is me, 14. Today, I looked at myself. When I walk around a human adversity, I'm covering my back still. I'm still covering my back. I'm walking around like... And I started to do some sessions. I don't have to defend myself anymore. I'm not in a jungle where I'm going to get beaten up or attacked. And I learned to relax the top part of my body. So when I walk, I have a technique. I say, relax, rest. And then all this tension suddenly drops. Instead of... What's happening? Are they coming? You know, what's going on? You know, and when you stop the energy flow, you get sick. Okay. Now we're going to do some silly games for your mind to entertain you because you're looking serious. Okay. We did this recently in Amsterdam. We're going to do it again here. Something I invented many years ago when I went to Australia. About 25 years ago, I was looking for kangaroos. And the closest I could get to a kangaroo was
the drugstore, they have pictures of a kangaroo. I was really disappointed. And I invented this story. How do kangaroos communicate? They got long fingers like this. They look like their elbows are stuck to each other. Okay, here we go. You put your... And there you go. I'm convinced that's how they say hello. Now, try not to make this into a marathon race. I see people get really gross out. They want to jump all over the place and be a kangaroo. Be a cool kangaroo, right? And talk to each other. Everybody up.
Everybody up.
Leaves, and apparently when you eat enough of them you get stoned. And they climb up in trees and they like to hang backwards with their paws on a branch, and every now and then they lose it and they come flying all the way down and you bang, you know, they hit the ground. And I try to imagine being a koala bear, stoned out of my mind, in a beautiful dream, and then suddenly waking up with this. So you have to imagine being a drunken koala bear. You're holding your head, and you're going, walking around, going, ow, 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 ow. And when you meet another koala bear, who's also fallen off a tree, ow, 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 ow. Then you hug and you say, it's going to be all right. And then you continue walking up. Ow, 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 ow. And you see another koala bear.
Thank you.
kid, Palm Mother Earth, was able to speak, she would say, I have given you everything to fulfill your dreams, your desires, your wishes.